Morning. Did that all come over? Good morning. Okay. All right. But it's a joy to have you with us this morning. Today we're going to, we were going to bring an end to our study on Psalm 91. However, after looking deeper and closer at the text, there's probably going to be at least one more in Psalm. All right. So this is part 8 of a look at Psalm 91, and it's entitled God and His Goodness. Say that with me. God in His goodness. All right. Would you stand with me, please, as we declare what we believe about the Word of God and the actual effect that it's going to have on us today. It's going to change us. Amen. It's going to wash us. All right. Are you with me? Are you awake this morning? Amen. 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 Okay. Why don't you take your Bible and hold it up towards heaven, and we will say our Bible declaration. Are you ready? I'm glad. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Hold it. Stand up. I noticed something in that. And I don't know how you guys did this. It was like you went, I'm about to see the incorruptible, the indestructible, ever living seed of the Word of God. Think about what you're saying. Let's slow it down just a little bit from that point on, okay? I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever living seed of the Word of God. That's awesome, amen? That means the Word of God today is going to plant in you something that's going to change you. Amen, amen. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Let's go. Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. It's really quite exciting as you begin to dig into the text, as you find out what are the deeper meanings. Of course, the meanings are the meanings. What the Word of God says, it says and it means. Amen. But there's deeper meanings that we can find when we dig into it and when we study. All right. God tells us in verse 13 of Psalm 91 that we will tread upon our enemies, and we will actually be able to use these attacks to advance beyond our enemies as well. I mean, that ought to make you happy this morning, amen? That means that somehow, some way, God is working everything together for the good for those that love Him and those that are called according to His purpose. Do you believe that? Yes. Amen. Amen. So please turn to Psalm 91:13. And we will read what it says there. Goodness. You have to understand, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, so you can't be too quiet. Okay, because in the silence, never mind. Psalm 91:13 says the following. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. This verse is just literally packed with revelation right from the start, as it begins with the words, you shall tread. All right, you shall tread. And Serena, would you come up and pray for the message, please?
Father, as we come before your throne, God, I thank you for the grace and the mercy that you extend. God, your favor that covers us. God, your word that goes forth in power, bringing unity and deliverance, bringing healing, meeting needs. Everything that we stand in need of, God, comes from your word. And you cover us and wash us with that word. And I thank you for that. I thank you, God, that as we hear your word today, it finds we hear, we listen, and we obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Serena. You shall tread. Okay, say that with me. I shall tread. I shall tread. In the original Hebrew, the words you shall tread means to go forth or to march or to walk on, but it also means to advance. These words let us know that we're that when we're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, God not only empowers us to tread on our enemies, but he also enables us to advance past our enemies and move forward into the destiny that he has called us to. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but if there's one thing that I want to be sure of in my life, is that I advance in the destiny and into the destiny that God has called me to. How about you? Amen. I mean, how many of you know, being where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, when he wants you to do it, is the best place for you and I to live. Amen? Amen. Amen. In other words, I want to become, and apparently you want to become, all, say all, that he has called you to be. Amen. Amen. Again, the scripture says, you shall tread on what? Okay. Upon the lion and the cobra. The word upon in the Hebrew simply means above or over. And the word lion describes not only a lion, but it specifically describes or depicts a fierce lion that is here for only one reason, and that is to attack you. And the word cobra describes a venomous serpent. No big revelation. But what's interesting here is that the word cobra is derived from a root word that means to twist, all right, to twist. So this word cobra also denotes a twisted kind of attack or a twisted kind of situation, something that is wild or bizarre and that you would never imagine in a million years could actually take place. And I don't think I really have to explain this, do I? Because both you and I know what some attacks are like. I mean, sometimes they just don't make any sense. You're walking where you should be, and the enemy comes anyway, and things happen. But, you know, it's said, and I think it's probably true, that if it doesn't make sense and there's no reason for it, it's probably the devil. Amen? Come on. It's probably the devil. However, because you are living in the shadow of the Almighty, and you have been given the ability, now hear me, to walk right over them, treading upon them, as the Bible says. So when the fierce lion comes to attack, and that attack is so twisted, come on, and the situation is also twisted and wild and bizarre and unexplainable and just understandable and seemingly unstoppable, it's not going to stop you. You will be able to walk right over them in victory. It doesn't matter what comes your way. You have been given the ability, you've been enabled by God to walk right past and right over them. Amen? And not only that, you do it all in victory. Hallelujah. I mean, I call that good news. So again, no matter how strange, no matter how weird the attack is, when the attack comes, you and I will be triumphant. The second half of that verse goes on to say that you also have the ability to tread upon and march beyond the attack of the young lion and the serpent, or the dragon, whichever version you're reading. In Hebrew, the young lion simply means the young lion, but it means a young lion that's hungry, okay, that's hungry. And the word serpent depicts a serpent or a monster like a sea monster, which a traveler, I guess, could encounter while taking a journey. And although you and I wouldn't be likely to encounter a monster like a Hollywood horror movie like we see in them, boy, those guys have some imagination, don't they? The thing is, we could encounter monstrous situations, amen, that will seek to compromise and victimize us. And there's nothing worse than living out our lives as a victim. Amen? I'm going to say it again. There's nothing worse than living out our lives as a victim. And there's nothing more that the devil wants to do than for you to live your life out as a victim. Because when you've settled on living your life as a victim, you'll never experience victory. And that's just plain the way it is. If you want to be a victim, then that's what you are. You're victimized. You're always under this pressure, okay? Everybody's always against you. You're never walking in really the fullness of God. You're never experiencing victory. Because when you're settled on living your life as a victim, and I'm so sorry, but there's some people that are. There's some people that it's always somebody's fault. There's some people that they walk around and woe is me because somebody did this and somebody did that and I'm just a victim and I was never doing anything wrong in the first place and gee whiz, you know. But when you walk around like that and you act like that, you're never going to experience the victory that God wants to give you. But, okay, but, If you've taken up residency in the presence of God, and there's so much involved in that, the Bible says you shall trample those monstrous situations under your feet. In other words, you will live a life like a victor instead of living life like a victim. Now to me, that's great news. I mean, it's great news. It's great news for me. It's great news for you. It's even great news for the person that thinks they're a victim, because they can come out of that lifestyle. And that is a lifestyle. All right, it is. It's what they have decided to live as. And I don't know about you this morning. I mean, I know I go through struggles. I know I fight the enemy. I know there's times when I fight people. But you know what? It can't always be somebody else's fault. I don't know. When I think about the idea that I can live life in victory, I mean, it just makes me want to shout, amen? It makes me want to shout, thank you, Jesus, amen? And give him the glory. The next phrase is, you shall trample underfoot, and it means to stomp on or to tread upon. In other words, and please hear me, you may face horrific situations, but because you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty or spending time in the presence of God or living, hoping and wanting the presence of God, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is there. It's your perception of whether or not he is there. What are you thinking about? Hello? Okay? But because you're in the shadow of the Almighty, you will stomp and tread all over that horrific situation. And again, even use it as a stepping stone into the plan and direction of God for your life. Now, that's good stuff. I mean, you can't make this kind of stuff up. These are promises direct out of the Word of God. I mean, it'd be one thing if I was trying to extend the meaning, but I'm not. I'm just telling you exactly what the Word says. And what is so solidifying about this truth, if you will, is that this promise is echoed almost word for word by Jesus himself. In Luke 10:19, where he declares, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, say nothing. Nothing, nothing by any means shall hurt you. Nothing. Not one thing, but nothing. Amen? Please notice the word behold, which opens the verse, you know, where it says, behold, I give unto you power. All right? It's the Greek word eidouo, which expresses bewilderment or amazement or even awe. And it shows us, you know, really the injection of Jesus' own feelings regarding what he is about to say. In fact, the word eidouo is the equivalent of Jesus saying, wow. No, this is good, really. Of saying, wow, or it's shocking, or it's amazing, and even it's dumbfounding what I'm about to say to you, so please listen, or you need to listen. And then Jesus says this, I give unto you power. Glory to God. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Notice he didn't say, you will have the power no matter what. We have to use it. Amen? We have to use it. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Interestingly enough, Jesus took the promise of being able to tread on serpents and scorpions as if that wasn't enough, and he raised it to a higher level. He said that he gave us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing. You know, I was going to look up the word nothing, but I think you know that nothing means nothing. All right? Nothing shall by any means harm us. I mean, wow. Right? Wow. That's amazing. That's bewildering. Wow, that's awesome. I can say that because Trudy's not here. And I think this is just another reason for us to say, praise God, thank you, Jesus. And I think maybe in our lives, every one of us would just do well to stop every little while and just say, praise you, Jesus. Amen? I knew a guy one time. In fact, he was kind of a mentor of mine. He had vowed in his heart, I think it was every 3 minutes, he was going to say, praise God. And you'd be talking to him. He'd all of a sudden go, praise God. And you'd go, what? Oh, that's just you praising God. Okay. But, you know, it might sound silly, but what an awesome thing to do, to give God the glory and to be aware of his presence in your life at all times, because he doesn't ever leave you or forsake you. I don't care if you're in the middle of sin. Hello. He didn't leave Adam when he sinned. He chased after Adam when he sinned.
That's right.
All right. But there's something here that we have to understand, okay? As it is with any divine promise in the Bible. If we don't know that we can walk in it, then we probably won't ever do it or claim it. And the promise will remain unclaimed in our lives, and we will live our life being walked on by the enemy. Remember this, and I've said this before, unclaimed promises lead to an unfulfilled life, okay? Unclaimed promises lead to an unfulfilled life. So the question for you and I this morning is this. How do we operate in this overcoming devil-stomping power, this power over power? How do we do that? Psalm 91:1 tells us, and it's not as difficult as we might think. In fact, it's really quite simple. We operate in this this overcoming devil-stomping power by abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, by keeping yourself in the presence of God and staying in His shadow and staying in step with Him. Amen? Living life like you know you should instead of like sometimes your flesh wants you to live. Okay? You have a choice every morning when you get up. In fact, you have a choice every time a situation comes your way if you're going to, respond to it godly or react to it fleshly. Okay? No matter what it is, whether it's a good thing or it's a bad thing, you have a choice. But you see, because when we're walking this closely to the Lord, the way we should be, we're not only encouraged, but we are empowered to tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent or dragon. In other words, I'm going to say this again, maybe a little differently. You and I may face horrific situations, as twisted, as strange, as unbelievable as they can be. How many of you have ever gone, I can't believe I'm in this place. I can't believe this is happening to me. What in the world? But because we're under the shadow of the Almighty, because we're living in God's presence, we will tread and stomp, the Bible says, all over those horrific situations, and again, and hear this because this is so good, even use them as stepping stones to usher us into the divine plan God has for our life. Glory be to God. What a way to turn it around. What a way to give the devil a black eye. Amen? What a way. Glory be to God. Excuse me. Preaching too hard. Just a minute. There. Moving on to verse 14. The conversation suddenly switches, and the Lord himself begins to speak and declare what he's going to do for all those who have chosen to dwell in his shadow. Have you chosen to do that today? Maybe you chose to do it yesterday, but you have a choice every day. Have you chosen today to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, to just be in his presence, to just be walking in step with him, not wanting to be anywhere off under that shadow because you know that the best place to be is that place, in his shadow, the protection is strong in that place and promised in that place? He says this in verse 14. Because he, meaning you and I, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Wow. No, really, wow. Because for a second time we see the word because, okay, at the opening of the verse. And again, it points to the result of abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And I say that a lot, and I know that's very repetitious, but I want that to get into your head. That's where you need to be. And it doesn't just happen, amen? It doesn't just happen. We have to purpose in our hearts to be in that shadow. And it's not difficult at all, but we have to purpose to do it. But it's God's way of saying, this is a result of what happens to those who stay close to me. Or here's what I'm going to do for you, or to you, because you are continuing to walk in my shadow and you've set your love upon me. Praise God. Praise God. He's talking to us. The phrase set his love in the Hebrew means to be attached to or to delight in. But it also means to be devoted to or to deeply love somebody. So what the scripture is really telling us is this. When the Lord sees that you're doing your best, okay, to stay in step with him, thank God there's grace because all of us make mistakes. Amen? Amen. But when he sees you're doing your best to stay in step with him and to remain in his shadow and in his presence, he notices that. And he says this, wow, that's a person who's deeply devoted to me, one who loves me and who really is trying to stay attached and connected with me. I don't know. I'm sorry for that. Could you get me a glass thing of water? I appreciate it. Thank you, Josh. The fact of the matter is this, okay? God, without a doubt, knows who it is that's walking in his shadow and striving to obey him. He knows. And he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt those who are devoted to him and who deeply love him. And he says, thank you, Josh, and he says that as a result of that, because he's doing that, because he's doing all those things, don't ever tell me God isn't a button if God. Don't ever tell me that. Things don't come automatically, okay? He says this, as a result of all that, I will deliver that person. Oh, get excited this morning. I will. How many of you have been in a situation where you could just say, oh, God, just help me, God. Help me get out of this. Help me to be victorious in this situation. I can't seem to do it. And he says, I'm going to deliver him because he's living in my presence, because he's under my shadow, because he's dwelling where he should be. And again, I can't speak for you, but I want to be that person. All right, I want to be that person. I want to be encouraged and empowered to stay in that place. So again, the question is, what is the evidence that we've set our love on the Lord? What is the evidence that we've set our love upon the Lord? Because that's what we're supposed to do. It's like this. Setting our love upon the Lord and choosing to be attached to him, you know, it's a personal choice. And it's not one that can be made for you. I mean, it'd be so easy if I could just say, hey, I'm going to decide for you, and you, that you know, you're going to do this, but I can't do that. Your wife can't do that. Your mom and dad can't do that. It has to be your personal choice. And cutting straight to the chase, setting your love upon the Lord is often evidenced and characterized by the following things, okay? Number one, regularly spending time with the Lord, okay? Occasionally, do things come up and it messes up our schedule? Yes, I understand that, and God understands that, but the thing is, do you do it more than you don't do it, all right? You know, and I'm not talking make sure you do it 4 times out of, you know, 10 times. I'm talking, do you regularly spend time with the Lord unless something has gotten in the way and it's an emergency? Are you with me? Is it a priority in your life? Do you regularly spend time with the Lord? Number two, you've got to be praying and fellowshipping with him. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, you know, you want to know how you do that? You don't have to say, oh, great and mighty, powerful, oh, God of the universe and King of the beings, oh, Elohim, oh, Adonai. You don't have to do that. You can say, hey, God, I'm having trouble today. And you know what it is, and I know what it is. Give me some help here. Sometimes I think we think praying has got to be this big flowery thing, and it's not that that's wrong. It's not. But it doesn't have to be. And it certainly shouldn't be if it deters you from praying. But we have to be praying and fellowshipping with him, reading and studying and meditating on his word. We're instructed to do that. That is one thing that will denote you setting your love upon the Lord. And it also involves worshiping the Lord. You know, I've said it 100 times, you know, Sunday morning we spend time in worship, but do you spend time in worship the other 6 days of the week? Do you spend that time, or is the only time you sing songs to the Lord, I have to do it in private because it's really ugly, but is Sunday your only time, or do you turn on the radio and sing along with the radio, I won't say cassette, a CD, a stream, whatever it might be? Do you worship the Lord, and do you give him thanks and praise out of a thankful and a grateful heart for all that he's done for you? And the fifth thing, and I don't think you can, I've got 7 things, okay, and they probably aren't all inclusive, but I don't think you can leave any of these out, okay, if you want to be called setting, you have set your love upon the Lord. You have to trust in God and trust in his word. Trust in it. It doesn't matter if it's uncomfortable for you, trust in it. It doesn't matter if it doesn't line up with the way you think it, with what you want to do. You trust in it, so you do it. Amen? And please hear this, because this is so important. By participating in the ministry and work of the body of Christ, meaning in your local church, talking to you at CFWC, it is important. And this isn't a plea for help, because we aren't hurting for help, but you know what? Everybody that isn't help is hurting to a degree, because if you have set your love upon the Lord, you want to serve. Can I hear an amen?
Yes.
And I'm going to give you the seventh one, and boy, you aren't going to like this one, okay? I can tell you're not going to like this one by the looks of our offerings, okay? But you set your love upon the Lord in the giving of your tithes and your offerings. Oh, that pastor's back on money again. Well, don't make me be back on money again then. I mean, don't make me go back there. I mean, seriously. But when you give of your tithes and you give of your offerings, you've shown a degree of surrender that surpasses most people, unfortunately. But it is part of setting your love upon the Lord. All, not just part, but all of these practices are proof positive that a person is really trying to abide under the shadow of the Almighty and stay in step with Him. Well, how can you talk about money when you're saying that? Well, you know, God had a way of financing the church, and it's you. Amen? It's you and me. But all these things, all of them, not part of them, all of these things are personal decisions that we have to make. We have to make them. We have to make them. Keep in mind now that these are all outward demonstrations of a heart that is inwardly changed and turned towards and devoted to God. And although we are not saved by what we do, because it's by the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we are saved, amen? But when we are truly saved, our actions and our activities will reveal it. And I'm going to say that again. When we are truly saved, our actions and our activities reveal it. And the proof of this, the proof positive of this, is when we look at the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19, where it says, "Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you, and I will show you my faith by my works." James is just saying this, and it's so simple. You can't model your faith without modeling your works. It's like, you know how talk is cheap? All right. It's the same thing. All right. The two go together. Faith and works go together. Again, Psalm 91:14 says to those who have set their love on the Lord, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him." And then he says, "I will set him on high because he has known my name." Excuse me, I think I better drink this water because Pastor Josh was kind enough to bring it to me. Red Bull. Caffeine-free, sugar-free. All right. That phrase, okay, "therefore I will deliver him, can also mean to carry away from danger or to cause to escape danger. It's the idea of enabling someone, or more specifically, that devoted person. It's enabling them to be carried away from a bad and dangerous situation or place. And if that isn't enough, in addition to delivering those who love him, God says this. He says, "I will set him on high." Wow. God will set you on high. God will do that for you. In Hebrew, this means to be inaccessibly set high and out of reach, or to be completely inaccessible from your enemies. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So taking this all into consideration, we find when we delight in and devote ourselves to the Lord, and when we dwell in his magnificent shadow, God himself will elevate us out of the enemy's reach, Oh, you should get excited here somewhere. And make us inaccessible or make us to escape from the enemy's danger. Why? Because we know him. Glory to God. Because we know him. It isn't our massive spiritual performance. Because when you get saved, you begin to what? Know him. Suddenly you know him. He was there all along, but suddenly you know him. You realize he's true. You realize that it isn't a fairy tale. And you know him. You know there's God. And there's much more to that. And I'll explain that next week. But because we have known him. When you're reading through the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs, often you'll see phrases like, you know, the Lord will set me on high, or the Lord will set me upon a rock. These are all references to God lifting us up high and out of the reach of our enemies, out of the reach of horrific situations or situations that don't make any sense. And when he sets us upon that rock, okay, which is symbolic of Jesus Christ, okay, our enemies cannot reach us, no matter how hard they try. And you might say, boy, but some things have gone so terribly wrong, but how much in your life do you not even know about that you have been kept from? Come on, people. Many times we find that when we fall into situations, we fall into them because we've fallen out of the presence of God. Yeah. Are you with me this morning? But our enemies cannot reach us no matter how hard they try. And please hear me. The Lord makes us inaccessible only because we're dwelling in the secret place, okay? Abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, staying in step with him, placing ourselves in his presence on purpose, and trusting in his power and his word to keep his promises. And then lastly, which is just the main, and because we know him. I don't know why that tears me up, but I want to know him. I want to know him in the fellowship of sufferings. I want to know him in his joy. I want to know him in every way that I can, inside and out. And honestly, if I kept preaching from here, we'd probably be here till, honestly, after 12, so I'm going to stop here. But what God has done and promised to us is just incredible. It is incredible, but all that lays unclaimed unless we know it and unless we speak it to the Lord. Don't forget that. You speak it to the Lord. Wes, why do you read the Psalms out loud? Because I'm speaking it to the Lord. Okay? Why do I have to put him in remembrance of his word? I don't think it's that. It's more like that now I'm in remembrance. And now I can claim a promise, okay? Although we do put him, in a way, in remembrance of this word. But I think, and it just amazes me, what God has done in our lives to protect us, to put us out of the reach of our enemies. And there's only a few things that we have to do, and they're common sense. When you have someone that tells you, well, it's grace, and it doesn't matter what we do, it's grace. And then I prayed a prayer once, and I don't have to pray it anymore. I'm saved, and I can do whatever I want to. Come on. Let's get real here this morning. All right, I'll stop. And I think I'm going to wait to say this whole confession declaration together until next week. But can you see what God has done for you in one single psalm? And we're not even done. It gets even better, okay? It's just incredible. It's just incredible. Let's pray.